Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. For more than 40 years, syndicated Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial cartoonist Tony Auth's work informed and delighted readers of newspapers across the country from his perch at the Philadelphia Inquirer. And now, WHYY is pleased and honored to present a retrospective of his work at our civic space in Philadelphia that first appeared last year at the James A. Michener Art Museum in Bucks County. Tony Auth is here now to tell us more. Tony, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
And your current hat is WHYY Digital Artist in Residence and NewsWorks.org Behind the Lines creator and blogger.
Right.
Tell us about that transition.
Okay. I got to a point where I realized I wanted to spend more time experimenting with new forms of commentary, one of which is a form of animation using a program that allows you to play back every stroke that you make as you do a drawing as a movie. And it struck me that, you know, an artist choosing the commentary and the order in which you draw something, you could tell a story. So I've done some of that. I also realized I was beginning to get tired of having to produce a political cartoon every day. And now I produce two, usually three a week, in addition to the other work that I do here at NewsWorks.
Of course, it was an early influence on you, Paul Conrad, I believe, who said, you can't just do one a week, you need to do one a day.
Well, that's right. I had been doing one a week and took a year's worth of work to show him. And he said, oh, my God, you know, he says, the ideas aren't bad, but you're killing these things. They're on your drawing board all week long, right? And you keep working on them. And I said, yeah. And he said, all that work shows a political cartoon has to look easy. If it looks like work, the viewer is going to be completely turned off.
And most readers would agree that your style, let's call it simplistic or minimalist, certainly conveys that kind of ease, and the power is in the message.
Yeah. Less is more, usually. But, there are times when a drawing calls for an enormous amount of detail, and that's the minimum that you can have to make it work. So it's always, a drawing-by-drawing decision-making process.
Tell us more about that decision-making process. How do you marry the message with the art? What comes first? How does it work?
Actually, that's changed of late. I used to be much more intellectual about it. And lately, say the past two or three years, I just sit down and start drawing. And I don't know what's going to come, what's going to happen. And it's a delightful discovery process. But in terms of how to do a drawing, I'm anti-style in the sense that I just believe every drawing should start with a blank sheet of paper and no preconceived ideas about what it will look like. It is amazing to me when I hear cartoonists talk about everything will be fine if I can just find my style. If that's your mindset and you have a whimsical idea and a heavy-handed style, how can you marry them? It doesn't work.
Of course, political cartooning was always a niche, and there were perhaps a couple of hundred colleagues when you started.
That's right.
There have to be far fewer in 2013.
I think it's down to about 50 or 60 at this point.
Are there any disciples or the next generation that you hope to inform?
I mean, there will always be irreverent artists dealing with social and political subjects. The question is, will they make a living doing it? How will they be paid if they're paid? I mean, anybody can publish now on the internet, of course. And the trick is, will people make a living doing this? And that has yet to be answered.
Share with us the trick of winnowing down from your voluminous catalog to the 135 representations on display here at WHYY.
Well, that was actually a lot of fun. And my curator, David Leopold, is largely responsible for that. And the show he's put together is really unique in my experience. He has figured out a way to tell my story going back and forth in time, focused on a number of things that I have cared very deeply about over the years. And it makes a compelling show, I think.
And there are various themes and categories. One of them is presidents, and specifically the nine presidents who you've had the pleasure of doing caricatures and stories about.
Yeah, that's right. I remember the first president it was Lyndon Johnson. And when he said he wasn't going to run again, a friend of mine said, oh, what are you going to do without Lyndon Johnson?
Who were some of your colleagues at that time who informed you and gave you direction?
My heroes were people like Herb Bloch, Jules Feiffer, Paul Conrad, Pat Oliphant. I think those are the primary sources at the time.
Jules Feiffer does the foreword in your book of that same name. Tell us about your affiliation with him.
Well, I'd been a huge fan of Feiffer's, and when, you know, one of the things that happens, or used to happen, when you break into this business professionally is you suddenly meet everybody. There are meetings and such, and of course it was a thrill and an honor to meet Feiffer, and we've been friends for many, many years.
The title of your exhibit, To Stir, Inform, and Inflame. Tell us how that came about.
That was a spontaneous utterance on my part during a conversation, and you know, it just struck me that the purpose of these drawings is myriad, and different people take away much different things from them, depending on their point of view and their own experience with the images that I've used.
What is your point of view?
What I try and do is, actually, I have a list of questions I ask myself about a certain subject that I intend to do a drawing about. And the number one question and the most important question by far is, what's really happening? And I try to answer that question, and through positing more questions, depending on what's involved in that particular issue or personality or whatever.
I understand in your business you've said that there are only two forms of acknowledgement, awards or hate mail.
Well, there are, you get both of those in large numbers.
I hope you get some tributary letters as well.
Well, you know, people who like something aren't as moved as people who hate something, so there's always that.
What are you working on this season?
Well, I'm trying to do two or three political cartoons a week. I want to keep my hand in, definitely. Also, I mean, one of the ideas here for my coming to Newsworks was to become the sort of visual identity of the website. And I do that through various slideshows, movies, illustrations for projects, stories, Faye Flam's science blog, things like that that I enjoy doing very, very much.
Those of us who aren't artists wonder, if artists run a creative course, how do you keep it fresh?
You know, I have no idea. I've just never lost interest in what I do artistically. And I think if I ever did, it would be clearly time to stop doing it.
And focusing so much on politics, how do you keep from falling into the cynical end of the trap?
I think in many ways, if you become cynical as opposed to skeptical, it shows in the work, and the work is tiresome and boring.
Your work, by contrast, is not merely skeptical. It's optimistic in many ways.
Well, I think I, to some extent, naive. I think things can actually be improved upon, and then it just might happen, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, over many, many years.
Tony, your exhibit runs through November 8th, and there's going to be a special presentation, I understand, a week from Friday.
Well, Jules Feiffer and I are going to be doing a panel discussion along with David Leopold, the curator of the show, and it promises to be a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun for those who can come out and see it now. Thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thank you.
Tony Auth, WHYY digital artist in residence, and Newsworks.org Behind the Lines creator and blogger. His retrospective is available to be seen at WHYY Studios.